The other day when we had our grandchildren with us, we went to the maze at Kingston Bagpuis. Has anybody else been there? It's good fun. Yes? Did you get lost, Jane?
No, it used to be an annual tradition for Pip's birthday to try and lose her in the maze.
Well, it's life is also a maze, and you go around in circles and you reach a dead end and you have to admit that you've got to turn round. You could take a shortcut through the walls. It's actually a very clever design because you think you can go through these rows of maze. And in fact, they taper to a point, so you get trapped. So you have to step back. And often in life, we reach that dead end and we need to reflect where we are. And we need to recognise that sometimes the only thing is to review our position and to seek help. Because we are dependent on others. If we only depend on ourselves, then we will keep repeating mistakes. It is said that we learn from our mistakes, but that is not always true, and we sometimes repeat our patterns of behaviour. But the wonderful text that we've read, had read to us from Romans tells us that the Spirit helps us. And at the beginning of our passage, it talks about how in the same way as what? Which is why we read the first three verses, which I won't take long to say, but simply to summarise how through the hope that we have in our faith, we are sustained to face so many issues. Safe faith is sustained by the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and it sustains the faithful in the suffering of the present world. And, of course, we know of our own local charity, Open Doors, that supports the harsh suffering of our Christian brothers and sisters across the world. But it's not just across the world. In the news this morning, I was reminded of something that actually has been rolling over for some years now. A gentleman called Richard Page, who was a magistrate, and he had to resign because he opposed same-sex couple adoption, saying, generally, it's in the best interest of a child to have a mother and father. Who can disagree with that? Well, the authorities condemned him for making that statement of what is, after all, a Christian value of hope and expectation. This gentleman has now been sacked as an NHS Trust director, and he is bringing a tribunal case for discrimination against his faith. Persecution is on our doorstep. It's not something that's happening the other side of the world. It's happening to Christians today. How do we stand up for Christian values? Is it right that they evolve as society changes? Or should we be holding firm to the principles as we read of them in the Bible and as we pray through them? So we come to the likewise in our passage of how the Spirit sustains us in our prayer, because without that, we are weak. We are feeble both morally and physically. We lack a focus in our direction, and we don't know what is good for us. But the beauty is that because, as we believe in Jesus, the Spirit has come to live in us, he knows us intimately. He knows us, as we like to say, better than we know ourselves. And he lays our needs before God the Father because he knows our hearts and our thoughts, our intentions and our motives, and he knows our inner spirit. But he doesn't control our lives. He lets us make our own mistakes. He lets us make those rash decisions and hasty judgments, but he still intercedes on our behalf. He draws us back from that dead end in which we have put ourselves to rediscover the will of God. Whatever mess we make of things, the promise of verse 28 holds true. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For it is God's love that draws us together as a fellowship. It's the acceptance of our differences, the diversity of our experience, and our love for one another, which is the mystery of our unity in Christ. He transforms our weakness and our feebleness. And as we read in verse 29, he makes us into the image of the Son, who is himself the image of the invisible God. The Spirit enables us to see Christ in each other. It's impossible without the presence of the Spirit in our lives. It's even difficult when we acknowledge the Spirit within us. Mother Teresa said this, "I see Jesus in every human being. I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus, I must feed him. This is sick Jesus. This one has leprosy or gangrene, I must wash him and tend him. I serve," says Mother Teresa, "because I love Jesus." To see Christ in others, we must show Christ in ourselves so that indeed they can see him in us. And it's our actions which speak much more than our words. I remind us of the passage from Matthew 25 when Jesus recounts the story of the king who said, "Well, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." And they said, "When did we do these things?" And the king answered them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Serving one another, we are serving Christ. And we are under God's protection because he is for us. Have a look at verse 31. He is for us and he has given us the best thing, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. And he's not withheld anything from us because it's all for our good. And it's to fulfill the work that he began on the cross. And this passage reminds us of the love that God has demonstrated through Jesus that he has for us. That wonderful verse, John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." And our verse 32 here says, he who did not withhold his own Son gave him up for all of us. Will he not with him also give us everything else?" Christ died for us, he was raised to life for us, and he prays for us. Nothing can separate us from him because of the Spirit who lives within us, because of the love of God in Christ Jesus. But we have to be so cautious of that poison that can destroy our relationship with God and with one another, that can take us by surprise. As Paul had to write to the Corinthians, "I fear that when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. I fear there may perhaps be quarrelling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." Let us remember that our destiny as adopted heirs is marked out for us because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in the obedience of the Father. And our destiny is assured through our faithfulness to Jesus Christ if we choose to be obedient as an act of our free will, to set aside those things that divide us and seek to serve one another in a spirit of unity and love.